Deuteronomy chapter 18. We've got a couple of readings here I want to look at before we go any further. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 10. Okay, it says, "There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or wizard, or necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." That was instructions to the children of Israel. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. This is in connection with Lucifer himself. This is Satan, the devil. Isaiah 14, verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." And just moving on to John chapter 10 and verse 10. Gospel of John chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus talking about the aspect of thieves and robbers and those that would steal from us, really. And he's talking about Satan himself here. John 10 verse 10, he says, "The thief, that Satan, cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And Ephesians 5 and verse 11. Ephesians 5 verse 11. Paul to the Ephesians writes, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Amen. We'll ask God to add a blessing to the reading of his precious and inerrant, no errors in it, an inspired word. When I was at primary school in P6, I had an experience that has kept in my memory to this very day. I had a group of school kid friends who, looking back, were just your run-of-the-mill school kids. We got up to mischief every now and again, and I know you probably don't believe that of me, but I got up to mischief every now and again with them. But we were ruled with the rod of Cain by Mr. Devlin, as he was then. It was Ballygolan Primary School, and we were ruled with that rod of Cain, and it was very sore. I got it a few times. But in the playground one day around Halloween, someone came up with this idea that they'd found out about. It involved, as I recall, 8 persons, one of which was to be the victim, and it was to show us something amazing. The victim was to lie down on the ground while the others got round him. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of it because there are young ones here, but sufficient to say that as occultic things are the repeating of certain phraseology, and you'll notice that in an occultic if you read up on the occult, you'll see that certain phrases are repeated and repeated and repeated. And in fact, you know, thinking about that and thinking about what's going on in Christian circles today, there is a lot of occultic practice in Christian circles today. You see a lot of things, especially on TV, you see a lot of these programs coming on where the crowds of people are made by the worship leader or whatever. They're made to say things over and over again. They're made to say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus over and over again. He is Lord, He is Lord, He is Lord. That's occultic practice. But we'll maybe come to that later if we have time. But in this instance, we were in the playground, and it was to do with levitation. We were able to lift this victim up with our fingers and just lift them high. And let me tell you something, it worked. I was involved in it. I'm ashamed to say I was involved in it, but I was involved in it. And it worked. The devil was doing his work in P6 in primary school. The devices of the devil were around even in my day, 40 odd years ago in primary school. I can tell you that even in today's world, there has been an enormous increase in the delving into occultic activities. We see it all around us. We see it on the television. We see it being reported on quite frequently now. I have seen an article in the BBC online, and I want to read you a few things as regards that. It was reporting on a witch's coven, where it says, the report was inside a witch's coven where the coming of the god of darkness is marked on the day also known as Halloween. They met to celebrate Samhain, which is the turning of the year from light into dark. See, Samhain, we'll get into that later, he is allegedly the god of darkness. For the witches of Weymouth, it is one of their most important religious festivals, a time when they believe that the barriers between the physical and the spiritual worlds are at their thinnest. The leader of the coven, and it gives her name, bids farewell to the goddess of light and kneels before the head of a horned ram, holding her hands out as if to a flame. And she says, I kneel before the horned god, Lord of Witchdom, as we welcome him back to reign over the dark months. The coven meets regularly to make spells using a variety of potions and differently coloured candles in order to achieve particular ends. A girl called Anushka, a 35-year-old teaching assistant, is wearing a hooded cloak in pale blue, the colour of good health. And I want you to note that. A teaching assistant. These are commoner garden people here involved in this. Another one, Sarah, a mother of three, uses spells to protect them. Among the youngest witches is Holly, who says spells serve several purposes. You do a money spell or you do a happiness spell, and it's giving you the motivation to go out there and get it as well. And it makes you feel better in a way, she says. The increasing popularity of paganism is visible in the Dolmen Grove, a group of Dorset Druids. It claims a total membership of around 1,000, double what it was a year ago. Another woman, Kat Treadwell, represents another sign of official acknowledgement of paganism as a mainstream religion. In her everyday life, she wears the green uniform of the NHS ambulance worker. She also is listed by the NHS in Derby as their pagan hospital visitor, a kind of pagan chaplain. At home, in the long hooded cloak she wears as a Druid priest, Kat stands at a small altar in which she is the sculpted form of a woman, green leaves and an apple. She lights a candle at the small altar for patients she has tended during the day. Another normal person. Another person that you would rub shoulders with every day, maybe. In the USA, well, they revel in Halloween. Things are really, really go very far there. A guy said, Mr. Lowther, who had organized a display at his home, He actually had to block the road at one stage because this pagan display, there was 5,000 people outside his house, all wanting to see it. He had to move this display from his home to a farm. He says, I've always loved scary things. Halloween lets you get so wild on the imagery. What could be more natural than a grim reaper in the driveway, someone said. This year, Americans will spend $5.8 dollars, that's £3.6 billion on Halloween, according to the Retail Federation. Sales figures already for this British supermarket chain, Waitrose, they say they're selling 13% more pumpkins, pumpkin carving kits, 21% more decorations, and scarcely credible, 676% more large pumpkins than last year. This woman, Tina, says Halloween is a chance to turn her home in Medford, Oregon, into Darkwing Manor and Morgatorium Museum. She says, my husband and I are ancient Romanian vampires. We have opened this old Victorian manor for all kinds of other lost souls to join us. There's no gore, chainsaws, and Freddy Krueger. Instead, it's witches and fairies and magical things. Of course, she says it's to raise money for abused children. That's how they get around a lot of these things. A girl called Emma says consumers are looking for some escapism to take their mind off any job fears. Perhaps the key reason is the fact that supermarkets have massively increased their range and promotion of Halloween goods. Tesco will sell £55 million of Halloween-related products this year, and that's up from £14 million in 2005. Meanwhile, Sainsbury's is predicting that its Halloween sales this year will be more than 50% higher than last year. Miss Angel says the festival is all about escapism, and it's not surprising that consumers are buying into the vampire-related phenomena. The world's gone crazy. They'd rather have the things of darkness than the God of light. And that's what I'm trying to present to you there. The word occult comes from the Latin word occultus. It means clandestine, hidden, secret. Webster's dictionary calls the occult as hidden and secret. But it says it's also beyond human understanding. It's mysterious. It's of certain mystic arts or studies such as magic, alchemy or astrology. In other words, the occult is something of darkness. The occult, the word occult means hidden. There's a hiddenness in the occult. And when we think of the occult, we always think of something to do with the devil. And that's what it is. And really, you might say to yourself this evening, here we go again. Here's a fundamentalist Christian, and he's going to try and turn off the fun. We're always looking to throw cold water on just a bit of fun and enjoyment for the kids and the adults as well, of course. But nothing could be further from the truth. There's a protection involved here. No one more than I enjoys a lot of fun, but not with fun that's going to cost me my relationship with God. Halloween can be a time of year that leads many, whether it be children, young people, even men and women, into the trappings of something that is hidden, and that is the occult. I want to look at four things in relation to Halloween, the occult, Satan, and God this evening. First of all, I want to give a history warning. A history warning. Before we can look at anything to do with Halloween, we must look into the background of its history. This history is something that many people do not know about, or perhaps they don't really care to know about. Or perhaps they feel that it's irrelevant. Maybe you're sitting here this evening and you feel that it's irrelevant. I hope you won't feel that way by the time we're finished. The history of any event is important. We learn, or we should learn from history, learn our mistakes, learn how not to repeat our mistakes. But Halloween is regarded as an event in the calendar of just a bit of harmless fun, as dressing up as witches and Freddy Krueger and dressing up as ghosts and skeletons and many other scary people that are seen on our TV screens and film screens. Now, I'm not talking about kids here dressing up. I'm talking about everybody dressing up, adults as well. You only have to look around the district at the moment to see how many people are dressing their houses at the moment. It's obscene in some places. Yet Halloween may not just be as harmless as you think. Some facts are in order as we delve into Halloween. Its history can be traced back to the Celtic pagan New Year festival of Samhain. And it's spelt S-A-M-H-A-I-N. You would naturally say Samhain, or it can be pronounced that way, or Samana, but most people would pronounce it Samhain. Samhain was seen as the god of death, and many of the pagans wanted to honour him. You would have seen him portrayed as the Grim Reaper. We all know what the Grim Reaper's portrayed like in the big cloak. And you can't see his face with the sickle or the scythe in his hand. These pagans included the Britons, the Gauls, the Scots, and guess what? The Irish. Had to get in there somewhere. The time that they celebrated was what they perceived to be the end of summer and the beginning of winter. 1st of November was seen as the day of death. It was a day when they seen the leaves starting to turn brown and fall off the trees. They'd have a bit of problem at the moment with the climate change that's going on. They might have to switch their timings. But some sources state that the pagans believed that the sun god, and there's a good one, Muck-Ola, that's the sun god Muck-Ola, was losing his power because Samhain, the lord of death, was overpowering him. So they also believed that on the 31st of October, Samhain got together the spirits of all who had died during the year and had entered into the bodies of animals because of their evil deeds. They had been sentenced into the body of certain animals. But he allowed them to return for that one day on the 31st of October until it was decided which body that they would be confined to. The Bible has a different approach on that. Hebrews 9. And it says in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." After this the judgment. No such thing as reincarnation. The Druids, who were the occult doctors of their time, sought to protect the people from these wandering spirits. What did they do? Well, they rounded up cats. I'll help you out, Joe. They rounded up cats. And they rounded up black sheep, oxen, some humans, and horses. And what they did was they imprisoned them in wicker cages to be burnt. They thought this would appease Samhain, the lord of death. And then when the Romans, that was the Druids, when the Romans came along, they got in on the act as well by including some of their pagan god festivals, which we don't really have time to go into, but their festivals included things to do with fruit, you know, apples and oranges and things like that. Of course, the Christendom, and that's what I'm going to call it, Christendom got in the act as well, because they declared the 1st of November as All Hallows Day. In other words, All Saints Day. Pastor D.L. Brown, in his article, "The Dark Side of Halloween," cites a statement from a former high priest of Wicca, Tom Sanguinet. And Sanguinet says, "Halloween is purely and absolutely evil. And there is nothing we ever have or will do that would make it acceptable to the Lord Jesus." Another writer, Owen Radcliffe, quoted by Brown, states, "Halloween can be, and to many is, a deadly serious affair. It originated with pre-Christian Druids or Celts in Northern Europe, who marked the year by four seasonal festivals. The autumn feast took the place on November the 1st. Early Christians, desiring a part in the traditional festivals, created All Saints Day to coincide with the pagan rites. Satanists, well, acting as good Satanists do, they acted true to form and reversed the Christian procedure. Because November the 1st was All Saints Day, they then established October the 31st as All Demons Night. All Demons Night. Or All Hallows Eve, is what the world calls it now. Now you're thinking, well, that's in the days of the Druids and the Romans and all sorts of other strange cults. What's that got to do with modern day Halloween, which really, really when we look at it, is just an excuse for a party? Today, more than ever, The occultic practices of Halloween are before us, and there's much more to it that affects us. And that's the history of it, and I want to give you a health warning. That was a history warning. I want to give you a health warning in relation to that. Much is made in the USA of sending out children to the doors of neighbouring houses, dressed up in many ghoulish costumes. Today in Northern Ireland, we see the increase of this activity among our children. We were met last Sunday night, I think it was, or was it Wednesday night, of kids out at the front, dressed up, some of them as witches, some of them as what they believe to be what ghosts look like. The blessing of this activity is being given by parents, grandparents, and other members of the family. I again remind you of my occultic experience at primary school. You see, if you make these things familiar to children, they will have an effect. They well may get a hunger for the things of the occult. They may get a hunger for the things of the devil. So what's so bad about the things that children are encouraged to get up to? Let's look at trick-or-treating. Trick-or-treating. Sure, under supervision, it's okay. As long as your parents go around with you, you can go to house dressed up in all these costumes and put your hand out and ask for something. You want a treat? And the people there will have a big bowl of sweets and they'll give it to the kids, so that's all right. Isn't it? Isn't that okay? It's not going to do anybody any harm, is it? Well, the idea was that dressing up in scary costumes was to scare these evil spirits away that roamed the earth on October the 31st. If that didn't work, then you could do it another way. Instead of dressing up, you could leave outside your door a treat of some kind. And if the evil spirit was satisfied, then it would not trick you by casting a spell on you. See, the idea is that you give somebody a treat and they'll not do a trick on you. And as the old Druids saw it, that if you give them a treat, then they will not cast a spell on you. That's the idea. That's what our kids are doing today as they go trick-or-treating. They're mimicking what the devil wants to be done. This is an occultic practice instituted by the Druids of old, and many of our kids are getting involved in it so much. It's coming over here so much. It's come from America. What is the devil at? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Let's go to, again, a verse we've used often enough, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I've used it well enough here to at the gospel meeting, we should know it off by heart. We ask the question, what is the devil at? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, who's the God of this world? The God of this world is Satan. And it says, who the God of... hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What's the devil at? He's there to keep the gospel from permeating into society. He doesn't want our kids to realize their need of a Savior. He doesn't want their adults to realize their need of a Savior. And the more that he can do to keep these occultic trappings in the way of the gospel, he'll do it. Trick or treating is of the devil. And that's the simple, plain truth of it. Then we have the jack-o'-lantern. Now, I'm sure we've all done it. The carved out pumpkins, which candles are put in to show the carved out shape of the face. I would say many have done it when you were younger. Sources would indicate that folklore, that jack-o'-lanterns were named for a man called Jack, strangely enough. And this man, Jack, he could neither enter heaven or hell. This was Jack of the lantern. As a result, he was doomed to wander in darkness with his lantern until Judgment Day. With this in mind, people began to hollow out the pumpkins and turnips, placing candles inside to scare the evil spirits from their houses. That's why you see them hanging outside houses as well. This is a hideous belief that there is wandering spirits of people who cannot get into heaven or hell. What does the Bible say? As it is appointed unto man once to die, when you're dead, you're dead. When you're dead, you're dead. There's no coming back. There's only two places for the dead. It's heaven or hell. For the believer, Peter states, that heaven is an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. If you're a believer this evening, we have an inheritance that won't rust away. That's what he's trying to say here. If you're a believer tonight, you've got this place reserved in heaven. Of course, for the unrepentant, for the non-believer, there is only hell. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Romans 20, verse 14 tells us what happens to death, what happens to hell. It says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. They go to be with the devil. I plead with you tonight, if you are someone who doesn't know Christ as their Saviour, and I want you to consider these words. I want you to consider what we're talking about tonight. I want you to consider how the devil is keeping you blinded from the glorious gospel. The other use for lanterns were to show farms and homes that were sympathetic to Satanists, thereby saving them from any evil terror that was to take place. So you get the picture here. Halloween's just not as innocent as what it makes itself out to be. People say, but we're white witches. We're raising money for children's homes, abused children. Yet they're leading people into the occult. Then we come to the bobbing of our apples. Many people have bobbed for apples when they were younger. I'm sure you've all done it. Another harmless piece of fun, don't you think? Not a good piece of fun. In AD 43, Romans introduced another ceremony honouring their false gods to the already demonised Druid New Year celebration. It was in honour of their goddess of fruit trees. They would try and graft fruit floating in water without the use of their hands. This is the origin of bobbing for apples, and that's according to the Atlanta Journal. It's an honouring of pagan idols. Yes, but it's still fun, you might say. Just like drinking drugs, it appears to give you a high at first, but then when they start to get a grip of you, that's when the problems start. That's what the occult is all about. It's slipping in under the carpet or under the door, so to speak. And it gets you into the small things of the occult. And then the devil gets a grip of you and starts bringing you in further and further and further. And before you know it, you don't know where you are. You're that far away from God, you don't know what you're about anymore. The practices of Halloween may well keep you from the glorious light of the gospel. And that's the true fact of it. Then, of course, there's a few miscellaneous things. Black cats. The Druids believed that the cats were an incarnation of those who have died after being evil. And that this was a form of punishment. And it's no secret that many cats go missing during this period of Halloween. All throughout the world. Many cats go missing, apart from Joe, getting them. Many cats go missing. Just seen a black cat actually walking around the church here before we came into the prayer meeting earlier on. is dicing with death tonight, maybe being out. But it's no secret that many go missing, and they're used by these Satanists for what they do, for their sacrifices and things. There's an increase at the moment in this tarot card reading. There's an increase in scary films. You remember back in a few years ago, you had The Exorcist. It was the sort of granddaddy of the evil film, and everybody was up in arms about it. But now it's shown on Sky TV, just like that. There's no big problem with it anymore. It's just shown like that. And yet the evil abounds in it. Nightmare on Elm Street, all those films are all trundled out at Halloween. They're up the ante of evilness in this time. Have you noticed how many of our neutral films have become very dark in their whole imagery? And I want you to think about this. Think about Star Wars. Remember when Star Wars first came out? It was Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia, and it was all a shoot 'em up. It was no big problem. Look at the remake. The remake's a very, very dark film. There's more evil in the remake. We look at Batman. Batman's the same. We always remember in the series on TV, Batman and Robin running about, and it was all fun. But now, it's become that wee bit darker. You see, when the devil gets in, he gets in that wee bit, and he makes us all comfortable with what we have, and then he hits us again with something even more. Superman's the same. Superman became very dark as well. There's many more. All are being pumped out on the silver screens at this time of Halloween. There's a health warning to be had. Satan's after your soul. Satan's after you as a believer, if you're here tonight. He wants to muddy the waters. He wants you not to be, as we talked about this morning, he wants you just not to be as separated from these things as what God wants you to be. There's a history warning. There's a health warning. There's a hellfire warning here. Excuse me. The occult usually starts off with the small things, a casual interest in the Ouija board, the fortune telling, and many more insignificant things. The person gets deeper involved. A bit of fun can turn into an ultimate encounter with devilish things. Do you hear the news reports there recently over the last few days? Reports of the death at some apartment complex. I think it was in Africa. Well, I can't remember. I think it was there 8 dead that jumped out of the apartment building because they believed that they'd seen the devil. Many write off ghosts and ghouls and spirits that are conjured up in many ways. But again, I state it, as it is appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. These are not disembodied souls of people that you know were people that have come back from history. They are evil apparitions from the God of this world. Why? To hold the glorious gospel away from you. To keep it hid from you. So that you won't get saved. And that's what he wants. He wants that glorious gospel hid. Jesus gives us that warning that we read earlier on in John 10, in verse 10. The thief, that Satan, comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief, well, that is Satan. What is Satan's motive in all this? We saw it in Isaiah 14. The motives of Satan is revealed in at least 4 ways. First of all, we've seen that in Isaiah 14, verse 14. His secret purpose is to be like the Most High. He wants to be God. Satan wants to be God. That's why he rebelled. He wants to be God, and he wants to be God of your life as well. Secondly, meeting Adam in the garden, he recommended his unholy ideal for the world. Ye shall be as gods, Genesis 3 and verse 5. He told Adam, ye shall be as gods. Meeting the last Adam, Jesus Christ, in the wilderness, he showed his desire to take the place of God. Remember what he said to Jesus Christ? He said, if thou wilt worship me. He came up against the wrong person, didn't he? His motive will be finally revealed in that man of sin who was predicted as God sitting on the temple of God, setting himself forth as God. Let's look at it. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 4. I'll just go back into verse 3. And for context, it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We're talking about the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's his purpose. He wants to be God. Let's go to Revelation 12 for another look at this. Revelation 12 and verse 7. Says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, that's the devil, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Just verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You see, the devil is an accuser of the brethren. Let me tell you something. As a believer here tonight, the devil is accusing you in front of God. The devil is accusing your little slip-ups before God and saying, look, as he did with Job. He's saying, look at him. Look at her. She's sinning against you, but then God sees Jesus Christ. What does it say about the blood? And they, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Believer, your sins are dealt with. The blood covers your sins. He can accuse all he wants. God sees the Lord Jesus Christ in your place. And you're in him. If you're an unbeliever here this evening, you're not in that position. He doesn't need to accuse you because you haven't trusted Christ, and Christ is nothing to you. You need to think about that. Satan knows that he's a defeated foe, but he does not want to be alone. He wants to deceive you about God, and he wants to deceive you about his great mercy and his love through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's deceiving you at this very moment. Because if you're switched off now about the things that we're talking about, if you couldn't care less about what I'm saying up here, he has got you. He has got you.
Do you want to be with him?
Because unless you're depending on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to be with him. And that's the plain and simple fact. Let's look at it. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20. When Christ returns to this earth, as he has declared, he literally will. Remember, he was literally prophesied that there was going to be a birth. It was literally prophesied that he was going to die. And it was literally prophesied that he was going to be risen again. He will return. He will return to judge the nations that make war against Jerusalem and God's chosen people, the Jews. And he will cast the devil and his angels, who have had a free reign for 7 years in the tribulation period. He will cast the devil and his angels into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then after being loosed for a little while, he will be cast into the lake of fire. The completion of God's judgment upon him. And verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Remember, we spoke about death. It's appointed unto man once to die. This is the death. And the sea gave up the dead and which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So I'm telling you, this is a hellfire warning from God. There's no roaming spirits of particular people. There can be spirits that are conjured up by the devil himself. If we're susceptible to it, but you see, if we're in Christ, we're not susceptible to it. Praise God, we're not. The devil has nothing on us. Has he something on you? Are you saved tonight? Are you standing in Christ tonight? We've had a history warning. We've had a health warning. A hellfire warning. And just quickly, we have a heartwarming. A heartwarming. I mentioned John 10, verse 10 earlier. I only read part of that verse. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. We go on to say, I, that's Jesus, am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You see, this horror story has a good news ending. John 8 and verse 36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You see, I may well have been caught up in the use of my life with occultic things. If I had gone on and thought about the things that I was doing, I could have got caught up in it. Yet my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice sets me free. Because of my realization of the fact that I was a sinner in this life, and that I needed to have the sin question dealt with, I was able to confess my sin, and I now depend on the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross at Calvary for me. But let me tell you, Satan has put up a tremendous fight for my soul, and he still accuses me. He still accuses you. But I have a Savior whom The death and the shedding of blood did not stop him from taking up his life again to sit at the right hand of the Father, pleading his life for yours and mine. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And it goes on to say in 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The question, of course, is, have you allowed the trappings of the devil to ensnare you? Have you allowed the little devices such as Halloween to deceive you into thinking that it is a harmless piece of fun? Ephesians 5 and 11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, get rid of them. How can you be saved from these dark, devilish wiles or tricks of the devil? Peter stated in Acts 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The question is, do you want to be with Satan himself when Christ the judge comes to complete the sentence? Or do you want to be free from the curse of sin that rightly condemns each one of us? Why? Because we fall short of God's standard. Many believe in the devil and appear to want to have fellowship with him, rather to have an eternal future with our righteous God. We all say we love truth, and yet we reject the truth of God and allow ourselves to be tricked by the devil. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What seems right to you doesn't necessarily mean to say it's right. It's not God's way. Man thinks under the curse of sin, and he dies in his sin through his rejection of Christ. I implore you, come to the Saviour tonight and give the devil a short, sharp shift. Because all he wants is company in that place called hell, in that lake of fire. Give him a short, sharp shift. Change your ways. Come to the Saviour and be obedient in your confession of your need of a Saviour from your sin. Amen.